And our New Testament reading is from John chapter 1, starting at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's time to welcome in our preacher this morning, and I know we are in for a treat as we welcome in Helen White. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Wonderful to have you with us, and yeah, looking forward to what you've got to share with us all. I'm going to duck out and leave you us all in your...
Thank you. So, let's pray. Well, Lord, in this season of Epiphany, I pray that you will show yourself to us afresh, so that, in the words of the hymn we just sang, all will see how great is our God. Amen. So we're now in the second week of the church season of Epiphany. The name Epiphany comes from a Greek word meaning manifestation. And in the church, it's come to mean the time when people first encounter Jesus, when they recognize who he is, when he shows himself to them, if you like. Last week, we heard about the wise men who were led to Jesus by the star, and they traveled to search out the king they knew had been born so they could worship him. And this week, Jesus does the searching. He finds Philip, who becomes one of his disciples. And then Philip fetches his friend Nathanael to come and see who Jesus is. This all happens very early in Jesus's ministry, when most people don't know who Jesus is. Just 2 days before, John the Baptist declares, "I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." So suddenly it was out there. Jesus isn't just Joseph, the carpenter's son. Like, he had shown potential to become a great teacher already. Luke tells us that he'd been talking to the scribes in the temple when he was only a boy. But this is a step change. He's declared to be the Son of God by John the Baptist, who people generally acknowledge to be a prophet. And the following day, two of John the Baptist's own followers were so convinced that they left him to follow Jesus. And then the day after that come the events of this passage, starting with Jesus finding Philip. So, what does Philip do next? He's just met the Son of God, but he doesn't hang around gazing starstruck at Jesus. He goes straight off to tell his mate, Nathanael, and he tells him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." Well, Nathanael scoffs and says, "You must be joking. Someone like that doesn't come from Nazareth." And I must admit, he did have a point. Nazareth was a backwater, a small village of only a few hundred people. not the sort of place a great teacher would come from, never mind the Son of God. But Philip sticks to his guns and says, come and see. And of course, Jesus convinces Nathanael about who he is. So it's quite straightforward, really. The message for us from this passage is come and see. Tell your friends about Jesus and he'll do the rest. He'll convince them about who he is. Yeah, once I started scratching at the surface of this passage, I found, as so often with this amazingly rich book, I started to find more. Let's look at what Philip said to Nathanael. He didn't say, we've found this amazing guy. He said, we have found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about. Well, that implies not only that he'd read or heard the writings of Moses and the prophets, but I think it implies that he'd steeped himself in them so that he immediately recognized who Jesus was. And Nathanael, well, he was under a fig tree. The shade of fig trees was a favorite place for people to gather to study and pray. So Nathanael was most probably there doing exactly that, studying and debating the scripture with others. Jesus calls him a true Israelite. So what did he mean? The name Israel means he struggles with God. And it was first given to Jacob after he'd spent the night wrestling with God. And Jesus goes on to refer to a dream that Jacob had, where he saw angels ascending and descending a ladder into heaven. So to call Nathanael a true Israelite tells him that Jesus knew he'd been wrestling with God, studying the law and prophets and trying to find the truth. And Jesus says that his wrestling, like Jacob's, will be rewarded. He will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He recognizes who Jesus is because he's been searching, studying and struggling with the scriptures and what was written in the law and the prophets. So what can we draw from this passage for us apart from come and see? Well, first of all, that both Philip and Nathanael knew who Jesus was because they were studying the scriptures and praying. It's hard for us to see Jesus and recognize him in our daily lives, but pretty near impossible unless we have some idea what we're looking for. And the Bible is the place to start to even begin to understand who Jesus is. Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the age. He's with us always. And if we know our scriptures, if we steep ourselves in the Bible, we will start to recognize him every day. Secondly, Philip tells Nathanael why he thinks this is the Son of God. He is the one who was written about. If we're going to ask someone to come and see, we have to be clear about why. Why do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Can we explain that briefly, clearly, engagingly, so someone wants to come and see? And if not, is it not about time that we did? So we need to think about why we believe what we believe in, and then perhaps distill it down to a few examples. So we can say, come and see the God I believe in because ... and the God who's made so much difference in my life. Having that clear in our heads, and perhaps even written down for future reference, is also a great way to get through the desert times that we all have, right? There's nothing like remembering when we felt close to God to get us through times when we can't feel his presence. And then once we've done that, we need to pray for opportunities to say, come and see, to people around us, in a way that invites, not repels. Two very dear friends of mine got God in the late 80s, and I was delighted for them, but they just wouldn't shut up about it. For a while, I had to stop inviting them to dinner parties unless it was only with other Christians. So I'm not suggesting you go out and talk to any and everyone on all occasions about why they should come and see. After all, Philip says it to a friend who is searching, not to someone who's shown no interest. But if we pray about it, God will show us where we can say, come and see. Jesus says, follow me. Follow him to where he knows you will make a difference. Follow him to where someone is hurting and needs to hear his voice. My friends, by the way, turned into two of the most compassionate, engaging and thoughtful advocates for Jesus that I know, although it did take a while. But I hear some of you say, oh, I'm not good at that sort of stuff, talking about faith. Well, I might be about to alienate perhaps half of you now with a reference from Pride and Prejudice. No, don't roll your eyes. But I think it's relevant. Darcy, the proud and aloof leading man, says, I have not the talent which some possess of conversing easily with strangers. And Elizabeth points out you won't get good at anything without practice. So pray for the right opportunities and then use them. Give it a go. And chatting to Christian friends about faith issues can help you relax into talking more easily about what you believe and what you struggle with. Have a listen to the Advent podcasts if you didn't catch up with them before Christmas, and you'll hear what fun it can be having an honest chat about faith and how it impacts your life. Of course, you might find you need cake to relax into it. But with practice, maybe cake, and with God's help, we can become good at talking about Jesus. I think it can be off-putting being super sure about everything. So you don't need a theology degree to talk to people about your faith. Sometimes it helps if you're honest about not having all the answers and finding some things difficult. It can make Jesus and other Christians more approachable for people who don't know him. We just need to have courage, faith, and of course, to be prepared. In early November, Susie preached on living intentionally in the world of Christ. The word intentionally really stuck with me and just keeps on coming up in different contexts, like Alison used it already this morning. So in this still fairly new year, let's be intentional about studying the Bible, so we recognize Jesus when we see him in our everyday lives. Let's be intentional about talking to other Christians, friends, about our faith, and knowing how to reply when someone says, why do you believe in God? Let's be intentional about following Jesus to where we can make a difference. And let's be intentional about praying for the right opportunities to say, come and see. Amen.